Good morning, everybody. So wonderful to be with you today. I love coming here to your church and just really, really treasure it. Great to have our guests from Dunedin as well. I was born in Dunedin and my mum attended the Caversham Baptist Church. She was, would have been baptised there, but she was married there and attended many services as a child, right there. So I'd like to begin today by switching on my little device and let's see if we've got this going. It's always a good place to start. Oh, good. There it is. So I'm going to be speaking today on peace in our time. In 1938, Neville Chamberlain came back, having met with Hitler, and he held up papers in his hand, and I just must have done something wrong here. There it is. He held an actual photograph. He held up papers in his hand, and he said, "I have been talking with Hitler, and we have an agreement that is written here on these papers that there will be no war against Britain." And he assured them of peace in their time. The problem is, it's very hard for a person to guarantee peace to another person and to another people. His peace could not be guaranteed, but we are guaranteed today of a peace which is also written in another set of papers, the Bible. And it is the peace that is offered to each of us through Jesus Christ. Eternal peace. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7 says, "The peace of God that he gives us surpasses all understanding, and it guards our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus." Our hearts, the mind, the will, the choices we make, it's our soul, and our minds as well. Guaranteed that his peace will keep our hearts in him. In the Amplified Bible, it puts it like this: "And God's peace shall be yours, that tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace which transcends all understanding," long verse, isn't it? "But it shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." What a promise to each of us today of God's supernatural peace. It says it shall garrison our hearts and our minds. Interestingly, if you don't know this, I'll just explain to you. A garrison was like an army. And if a town or a city was under threat, this garrison, this army, would set up a cordon round about the city, and it would guarantee their protection. And God's peace is exactly like that for each of us. He guarantees us that he will give us protection, he will give us safety, he will give us provision. That's what his peace does for each of us. And when Jesus went away, he said, "I'm going away, but I'm leaving you a promise." He said, "I'm going to leave you with my peace." And he said, "Peace I leave with you. My own peace I bequeath to you." To bequeath something means when someone dies, they have a will and the will is ratified into the hearts of the people. He said his peace he gives us is his will for our life, and it will supernaturally be a gift given to us. So you might wonder, what is this peace if we were to define it? So I've got a little definition here, and it's my own, actually. You may like to have a look at that. Peace is the inner calm and tranquility that God gives regardless of our circumstances. I just kind of worked that one out for myself, but I was talking to a pastor friend of mine, and his was Warren Gorman in Christchurch. I found he was talking on the same subject that I'm on. So I rang him and said, what sort of angle are you taking? And I said, what's your definition of peace? And I thought his was pretty elaborate, actually. We'll take a vote on this after this. How about that? I thought his was good. He said it is the confident assurance that God is powerful enough and willing enough to bring about our wholeness in the future and the resilience we need in the present. Pretty good? All right. We'll put it down to a vote. If you vote for my one, you can indicate. If you vote for his one, you can indicate. If you want to make it a tie, you can. Right, who votes for mine? Right, we've got a few people there. Who votes for Warren's? Good. Who makes it a tie? Who doesn't care? Wonderful, isn't it? We can have a lot of fun. But this peace that is given by Jesus to each of us is a promise and a guarantee. It's a peace in our own time that can be absolutely guaranteed. And one commentator says that in John 14:27, this particular word for peace reflects the Hebrew word shalom. And last week in your sermon that was given by Jennifer, she made reference to the word shalom. And I have a friend, Jenny Milmine, who's lived in Israel, at Rosemary, of course, sister to Jenny. And Jenny Milmine has conversations with Hebrew people and people living in Israel. She lived in Jerusalem with Gordon, her husband. And she said, I spoke to this man and he defined shalom like this. He says, shalom, there are 11 words, and she's put them in alphabetical order for us. Shalom is relayed to her by this Hebrew person, means comfort, contentment, health, integrity, peace, safety, success, tranquility, welfare, well-being, and wholeness. Isn't that so wonderful? And so when we say shalom to people, we are really wishing that upon their life. We are speaking it over their life. And I believe that at this Christmas time, when there is so much turmoil in so many places, that we can speak the shalom of God, the peace of God. Maybe you've had a difficult year. Maybe you've had some difficult news. Maybe there's been a death in your family. Maybe it doesn't feel like peace. Maybe it doesn't feel like dreams are coming your way that you've had in your heart for a long time. But I believe that God wants us this Christmas season to not just know about his peace, but to experience his peace so that we bring it out of the pages of the book and out of the hymns and have it in our heart. The shalom, the well-being of God in our heart. We've had the reading this morning. Unto us a child is born, and his name will be called, amongst others, the Prince of peace, and of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. So it's an increasing peace. It's so amazing. I wonder what your understanding of peace is. Think about that. When I say the word peace, what do you think of? Whatever you're thinking of right now as a definition or of a way of thinking about what is peace, let me just share a little verse with you. And it's found in Philippians 4, verse 7, where it says, "Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand." Isn't that wonderful? It's higher and greater than all of our concepts. It's an amazing peace. It's the sort of peace that comes upon a person's life. The great hymn writer, his last name slips me, but his first name was Horatio, who wrote, "It Is Well With My Soul." When he lost four children at sea, and he was able to write the words, "When peace like a river attends my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you have taught me to know. You have taught me to say, it is well with my soul." It exceeds our understanding. How could he experience that? How could he write those words? Well, because God's concept of peace far exceeds our own. When you know God, you can know his peace. But if there is no God in your life, then there is no peace. One occasion, there was a great windstorm that arose upon the Sea of Galilee. The Bible says in Mark's Gospel, a great windstorm arose and the waves beat into the boat and the boat began to fill. But there in the storm, Jesus was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And so they go and they wake him up. They say to him, "Teacher, don't you even care? Is your love not great enough that you don't realize that we are perishing?" But Jesus, who was asleep in the storm, was able to sleep in the storm because there was peace in his heart. You could say the storm was raging round about, but the storm was not in his heart. And when there is no storm within the heart, we're able to bring peace to other people. And so Jesus awoke and said, "Peace, be still." And there came a great calm, a perfect peace that we can experience, find, and know for ourselves. They say that in the midst of a hurricane, there is a place of perfect peace. I spoke to a sailor who sailed the oceans yesterday, and he assured me this is in fact the case. You go into a hurricane, and it's lots of turmoil. But if you find the place in the heart of the hurricane, there is a place of peace. And he said you would find birds flying around in that middle of the hurricane. Place of safety. And then if you got out of that place, in the middle, out of the place of safety, you got into the turmoil again. But there is that place. Jesus is the calm. Jesus is our peace in every storm. Through him, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the peace of God, for he is the God of all peace. Found in Romans 15:33, "The God of peace be with you all." Thirdly, we have the peace that comes with one another. Isn't that wonderful? peace with God, the God of peace, peace with one another. Found in Ephesians 2:14, he himself is our peace, who has made two groups one and has destroyed the barrier dividing the wall of hostility. Fourthly, he comes that we may be at peace within ourselves. And I believe, fifthly, he brings us to the place where we can have peace in life, in our circumstances. Philippians 4 says that if we will bring our prayer to God with thanksgiving, we will find the peace of God that surpasses and exceeds all of our understanding. With thanksgiving. So it doesn't say bring your prayer and later thank him. It says when you pray, bring your petition with thanksgiving. What is that about? Well, there's different ways to interpret that. But one way to give meaning to that is that when we pray, and now we are trusting God, and we're thanking him and leaving it in his hands, so that he will bring the answer he wants to bring in his way, we can know peace, because it's a place of yieldedness to his will and to his answer. The dictionary defines peace actually as freedom from disturbance or tranquility. Stories told of a king who offered a prize to the artist who could place or give the paint the best picture of peace. Many people tried, and it came down to two final paintings in the competition. One was of a calm lake. It was like a perfect mirror, towering mountains round about, blue sky, fluffy white clouds. And people who looked at that thought, that is a perfect picture of peace. But the second finalist that it was competing with was another picture. Here it is on the screen. It was a picture which also had mountains, its ruggedness, was a dark and threatening sky, the rain was falling, the lightning was flashing. Down the rock face was a tumbling waterfall, and the scene did not look peaceful at all. You'd say, well, why would you put that picture in as a depiction of peace? Well, as you look a little closer, you begin to see something. I'll use my pointer in case you've missed it. But right there under the waterfall is a bird. This bird had made a nest where she could have her young. And the bird looked out on the stormy scene, but it had found a place of safety and peace, a place of tranquility, a place of calm, a place of rest. There it is from the outside, but there you can see. And the picture that won the competition was this one. Because it gave such a contrast. The wise king said, peace does not mean to be in a place where there is no noise or no trouble or disturbance or hard work. Peace means to be in the midst of all these things and still be calm in your heart. How about being taken like Corrie ten Boom was, and taken into a concentration camp as a prisoner during the Second World War through hiding the Jewish people from the German army. She was able to say this. Look around and be distressed. Look within and be depressed. Look at Jesus and be at rest. that wonderful? Where do we look in our turmoil? Have you got a hiding place in the rock? The rock is Christ Jesus. Can you look out at storms and say, storms are about me, circumstances are about me, but the peace of God is in my heart, and I am experiencing His peace, and I'm experiencing His calm in my heart. CALM itself is an acronym. The C stands for change the things you can. A stands for accept what you can't change. The L means just let go of all the toxic, dangerous, negative stuff like worry and fear and unresolved injustice, sadness, loss, anger, unforgiveness. And the M stands for now just manage yourself. Manage yourself in life under the hand of God, the Word of God, and the peace of God will rule in your heart, and you will know His peace. No matter what the doctor may have said, what your uncle might have said, what your nephew might have said, what your kids might have said, what work might be bringing to you, you will know a supernatural peace, knowing that God is working all things together for good. You know what it is to walk with Him, Jesus Christ, to learn the unforced rhythms of grace found in Mark 11, verse 29 and 30. Know that He won't lay anything too heavy upon us or ill-fitting, but if we'll learn to walk with Him and talk with Him, we'll learn how to live freely and lightly. That sounds like peace to me. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin in me. And may I be someone who brings His peace to others so that I become a peacemaker. Let me close by telling you a true story that happened in the First World War, 1914, the Western Front. Germans were on one side, across this area in the middle, went over to the British, the Allies, on the other side. And when it came close to the Christmas time, the Germans began to sing Christmas carols. And on the other side, the British and the Allies, they began to sing Christmas carols. It is said that they even heard brass bands with the German troops joining their singing of the exaltation of Jesus Christ. In the midst of turmoil and war, the name of Jesus was lifted up. And at the first dawn, Christmas Day, some German soldiers emerged out of their trenches and they approached the Allied forces across the no man's land. At first, the Allies thought this was a trick, but they realized they were unarmed. Isn't that a great thing? Peace of God causes us to lay down our guns and lay down our arms, lay down our side taking. The peace of God brings peace between people as well as to them. And so the Allies got out of their troops, out of their trenches, and they met in the middle, shook hands, exchanged some little gifts to each other. They said they gave some plum puddings and different things like that. It's even said that they played a game of soccer together. And what was it that brought this amazing peace? Jesus Christ. He is the Prince of Peace. He is reigning in our hearts. And as we come towards Christmas, when we the time that we celebrate his birth, may he be born again in our lives, and may his peace reign upon every heart. Well, as Derek Prince would say, my time is up for another day, and I'm going to say finish right on that note and just pray.